Casino Studio, KQEN weather. In the Umpqua Valley, sunny but smoky this afternoon from the fire. Looking for a high of 93. Clear tonight, 58 the low. Saturday and Sunday, both sunny and 92. Monday, 91. Our air quality dropping a bit more in the past half hour. We are now at a 69. The bigger the number, the worse the air quality. We started out the day at 14 in the good category, but the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has us now still in the moderate category at 69 due to the Jack Fire nearby and to the fire in Klamath County, probably causing some issues as well. Up to 79 degrees now. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And how about a mid-year look at the U.S. economy? A longtime friend of this program, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, a noted national economist, joining us from sunny Miami Beach, Florida. Dr. Eisenberg, thanks for being on.
It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for the invitation.
So with the first half of the calendar year done, give us your overall thoughts on the state of the U.S. economy.
Gee, we've made tremendous strides. You know, there's still a ways to go, but as someone told me 14 or 15 months ago that we'd be where we are, that GDP would have recovered its entire loss, that we'd have recovered 70% of the jobs, and households would be as good a shape as they are, I'd be a happy camper. So I would gladly take this. There'll be more. GDP in Q3 is going to be pretty good too, and Q4 will be fine also. So we're not done with the recovery yet.
What trends are you seeing in the employment picture around the nation?
Wow, we have a remarkably crazy employment story. Right now, we have literally 9.3 million unemployed Americans and 9.2 million jobs. Never before had we had lots of both. In a recession, you have lots of unemployed people and no jobs. In a boom, you have lots of jobs and no people. But now you've got lots of jobs and lots of people. So this means that the companies are desperate to hire, but people aren't working in some cases because, you know, they're getting too much money from unemployment insurance. Maybe they're caring for someone with COVID. Maybe their kid can't go to school or daycare hasn't reconstituted itself. They have to change careers. And don't forget this, the fact that there are so many jobs available discourages you from, well, looking for a job.
Interesting. So talk about this enhanced unemployment and what you're seeing there in terms of keeping people from working.
Well, what we see is, I mean, if someone's making $100,000 a year, getting an extra $300 a week, if they stay unemployed, isn't going to do much for them. But if you're making $12, $13, $14, $9 an hour, $12 an hour, to pick up that kind of money to stay home and make at least as much, if not more, than you are working, when you know there are lots of jobs available, has to have some impact on your decision making. Not for everybody and not always. And the closer you get to the end of the program, it ends on Labor Day, which is September 5th or 6th or 4th, whatever it is. People will be going back, and about half the states are now already stopping the extra unemployment insurance benefits. So we'll have a natural experiment and see what 26 states, did it encourage people to go back earlier, or not much, or not at all? We'll find out. I suspect it's some, but clearly not all.
And we definitely see that many companies are having trouble getting workers. It probably varies with the sector of the economy. There have been so many shifts in terms of how businesses had to operate because of the pandemic. I think of restaurants and all the changes there, and that varied state to state. But some folks that were in careers weren't so sure that their career was going to make it through the other end of the pandemic and have gone on to other things.
No doubt about it at all. I read this morning, actually, that it mentioned the people in the hospitality sector have been leaving the hospitality sector. They're saying, look, I've suddenly had an opportunity to try other jobs and do other things, and you know what? I like it, which means that a lot of hotels and restaurants are going to have a harder time, and they won't be able to open as fast as they would like to. This is, at some level, unfortunate for the economy, but if people are finding jobs they prefer, that they like better, that's also important for the economy. We work to be happy. We don't work to, for the sake of working, you know, at some psychological, mental, emotional level, obviously. So there's a lot of dynamism within the economy, and people are changing jobs and changing careers, and that's also delaying the improvement. And remember, we've already gotten back 70% of the jobs in just 12 months since the doors opened up on the economy last June. To get the last 30, those are the harder ones to recover. The easy ones we've already done it with. So these are naturally going to take a little bit more effort.
What sectors of the economy are faring best right now?
Wow. Manufacturing has been spectacular from the get-go. As soon as we opened the gates to the economy back last June, maybe even before, manufacturing went into overdrive. We couldn't do a lot of things. We couldn't go to ballet, baseball, basketball, you know, whatever, football, sports, music, culture, events, museums. So we stayed home, and then we suddenly we wanted to fix our house and buy a Weber grill and get a new washing machine, and all these things are on back order. So manufacturing was good from the beginning. And now services in the last 3 or 4 months have rapidly caught up and are now as good, if not better, than manufacturing, because now we're indulging in revenge shopping, as they call it, and revenge travel. People are desperate to do it. They've been pent up and unable to do it for so long. They're just so eager to call it revenge shopping. So now the overall, the entire economy is doing well. People who could work from home, the many of us were fine. Manufacturing, services. I mean, construction is doing well. They'd all would do better if they could find more workers. But everybody's in the same boat here. No one can find enough workers because we have these 10 million Americans who aren't working. Hopefully they'll come back soon.
What about
travel? And I suspect they will.
What about travel? That seems to be coming back very quickly.
Yes. This revenge travel we talked about, revenge shopping, right? Revenge baseball games. If I couldn't do it now, let's go. So if you want to go to a national park, you got to get a ticket so you can drive your car through at the right time. You want to go to a museum, you got to get a time ticket to do these things. There's so much pent up demand, and this is going to change our economy, because over the last 12 months we spent so much money on things. We bought Pelotons, we bought, you know, a bicycle, we bought sporting equipment, we bought pavers for the backyard, we bought a pergola so we could sit outside in the backyard in our fancy furniture. Now it's forget that. Let's do things we couldn't do. Let's go out to eat and go to a show and go to music and go to a foreign country. Well, that's kind of hard, but let's go to California if you're on the East Coast, or let's go to Boston or New York if you're on the West Coast, or whatever it is.
You know, I was talking with somebody yesterday who just got back from Hawaii, from Maui, where I'm going in 4 weeks, and they recommended...
Congratulations.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one, let me tell you. They suggested, and they were about 15, 20 minutes away from where we will be, but they said that if we had any idea of places we wanted to eat at, we should make reservations now. And I was stunned. It's like, wait a minute, that's a month from now.
It's exactly right. The pent-up demand is overwhelming. They even did a survey I saw recently, the results, asking people how they felt and were they thriving. The question literally was, how are you thriving? And more Americans than ever now say they're thriving. And I think it's just the fact that life is beginning to return to normal that's making us so excited. We're seeing our friends, we're seeing our family, we're seeing our relatives, we're doing things we used to do. But we want to do it all now. Now we want to go out 3 times a day for meals, not twice or once. So be careful. The other thing about Hawaii, make sure you have a car. Cars can cost you $500 a day to rent a car right now in Hawaii.
Yeah, luckily I've got one and arranged. And the good thing is that we come in Hawaii time relatively early in the day. So if there's a supply issue with the person and the company we're going through, hopefully we'll be in good shape there. But I will tell you, it's costing about 3 times as much as it did two years ago for the same rental car.
There you go. That's exactly the problem. There aren't enough cars. The car companies sold all their cars last year when they were desperate, collapsing car prices. Now there aren't enough, and the chip shortage is driving prices wildly high. This is a perfect microcosm of everything a mess with our economy, that if we had more workers and more supplies, partly computer chips, these problems will go away, but not necessarily in the very short run.
I'm curious for you, as someone who normally travels all over the country, especially certain types of year, what kind of shifts did you make in what you do as you talk to the business community around the nation?
Yeah, how to adjust and pivot very fast. The economy goes into lockdown, and you're a public speaker. You got to adjust. So suddenly Zoom became my best friend. I learned how to use Zoom and Teams and Ring Central and every single conceivable system you could imagine for virtual communication and transmission of data. I priced accordingly. I priced aggressively initially to encourage demand, and demand all came back. It was remarkable, but you had to adapt to what the market wanted, and like pricing methods had to change, and how I presented had to change, and what I presented on changed. But it all worked out, and now it's back to normal.
And so have you gotten back out and started speaking in person again?
I have. Next week, I give 4 speeches. Next week, two weeks ago, I gave 3 speeches, and my September will be the busiest month I've ever had in my entire life. I think I'm scheduled to give 15 speeches. There are only 30 days in a month, right?
Wow. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg back with more in a moment. The interview at KQEN podcast at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. Special guest host will be with me on Umpqua Valley Live as we talk about arts, entertainment, community activities that are happening again in the Umpqua Valley on Mondays Inside Douglas County. Tuesday's performer for Music on the Half Shell, Leroy Bell. Longtime favorite around the Umpqua Valley. He'll be coming down from Seattle. He'll be joining us on the radio on Monday. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, noted national economist with us from Miami Beach, Florida this afternoon. You mentioned going into the break about the chip shortage, and that probably ties in, I imagine, to why I'm still seeing a shorter supply of automobiles.
You better believe it. Certain manufacturers have suffered more than this than others. Ford has taken it particularly on the chin. Some companies stockpiled stuff beforehand, and they're better able to adjust. But it's causing a lot of cars not to be built. So we have this tremendous demand for cars because people aren't ready to go back to a subway or a train or a bus, depending on where you live. And they've moved to suburbia or exurbia because of COVID, and to avoid COVID and to move to a low density area, they need a second car, and you can't get a car. So used car prices are up 30% year over year, 7% alone last month. This is again, part of the dislocations of our economy. To wake up an economy that was put into a deep sleep is very difficult. And then you add to it lots of fiscal stimulus, which may or may not be necessary. I think it was, generally speaking. But you have huge demand, not enough supply, and you've got all kinds of problems. And there's a globe, too. So if you're buying things from China or India or South America, oh, my gosh, these places in some cases are struggling mightily against COVID, and their longshoremen have COVID. You can't unpack ships. The ships are backing up. The containers on the ships. And it goes on and on.
Real estate. Some areas around the nation still seeing short supplies. Are we still seeing prices going up fairly quickly?
Wow, prices are going up, and it's a blistering pace of price increases, depending on how you measure, anywhere between 13% or 14% up to 23%, which is not the right way to measure. But if you compare the same house, what the same house goes for increase, 14% over the last year is about right. That's remarkable. I don't know how sustainable this is because incomes aren't going up, but so long as inventory is low and interest rates remain low, there's no real problem, and this is not a housing bubble. Credit is hard to get, right? There's a shortage of houses, not an extra excess supply like there was 12 or 13 years ago. So, wow, as vertiginous as these increases are, they're understandable. Remember, a home is no longer a place where you eat and sleep. It's now where you work and go to school and exercise and everything.
And I had heard that even for new construction, the amount of square footage people want has gone up just for those reasons you mentioned.
That's right. Even multifamily structures in many cases are now being increased. The average size of a new apartment is going up for this reason. Also, there's this wild increase in demand for housing. Part of it was COVID, of course, but part of it was generated because we saved lots of money last March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and suddenly we had $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 or whatever it was, and we could say, hey, we can afford a down payment on a house. We didn't have that money before. So we're cooped up. Let's buy a house. We can afford it now suddenly, the down payment.
Wow. So last year, the tech sector on Wall Street had strong gains. I think part of that was due to all the tech that was involved in some of the pandemic shifts. But is tech still on the rise?
Tech is doing great. Yeah, tech had a momentary scare, I would say, when interest rates began to go up. Not too long ago, they went from 1.5 to about 1.7 on the 10-year treasury. But they've since come down and now about 1.35. So they've come way down with this decline in rates and the realization that GDP growth down in the year's future isn't going to be so much. And the Fed's going to start to raise interest rates a little earlier than we thought. There'll be less inflationary pressures. Interest rates came down. And that helps growth companies. And these high-tech companies are all growth companies, which means their earnings are far distant in the future, unlike Ford, which is making good money today.
And will some of this continue because of all the pandemic shifts? And as every type of business, every type of industry has seen, okay, if we get this equipment, we can do things differently. Some of this is going to be in the long term, I imagine, post-COVID as well.
Let's hope. I mean, companies have spent a lot of money buying stuff. They haven't built, you know, new restaurants or new malls or new hotels. But we've built a lot of storage facilities, warehouses, refrigerated warehouses, cell phone towers, and so on. And firms have bought lots of stuff, too. So we're learning to do things better than we did before. I mean, think about it. We have 10 million Americans who are unemployed, yet GDP is back where it was a year ago. So we've learned to do a lot more, just as much as before, with fewer workers, lower paid workers in service sectors, mind you, but still, nonetheless. So some of this will continue with us in the future. And the other thing that's going to hang with us in the future is some form of work from home. I don't know how many of us and what it will look like, but we're not going to go back to working 9 to 5 in the office. That's not happening.
What about the world economy? How are some other countries doing?
Depends where you look. If you look to Europe, things are much better there. They're rapidly vaccinating themselves, and their economic growth this year, the rest of this year and next year will be very good. You know, 4.5%, 4.75%. Not quite as good as ours, but still very good. China's okay. They're fine. They're slowing a little bit now. Japan still is in a funk, but South America, Latin America is really struggling. They're now the epicenter of this problem. And parts of Southeast Asia are also having a hard time. Of course, the Indian subcontinent is taking it on the chin as well. It's all a matter, really, of vaccination rates. Either you close your economy down, like Australia and New Zealand and Japan, and you're okay, or you vaccinate heavily like you do in the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, and Europe. But if you don't do one of those things, then you're in real trouble. And growth now is purely dependent on what's going on in your country with the vaccinations and closures.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg with us. A couple minutes left on Inside Douglas County. What do you expect around the nation for the rest of this calendar year in terms of the economy?
I think the job growth should get better as the year goes on, or be at least as good as it is now. We've created about 3 million jobs so far this year. I suspect we'll create at least 3 million more. Remember, kids are going to go back to school. The unemployment insurance top-up is going away. And the excuse of, I'm afraid I'm going to get COVID, is going to get increasingly less tolerable, because we're all going to get, not all going to get vaccinated, but those who want to get vaccinated will get vaccinated. So I would expect job growth to pick up steam come September, October, November, when schools open. This should be a terrific quarter, a half a year. GDP growth should be 7% the second half of the year, maybe 7.5%. This will be a terrific year.
As you have talked to business and industry around the nation, what are some of the things you've heard from them about dealing with this past year?
The the whipsawing effect of, you know, we had no demand in April and May, and now it's overwhelming demand. We could get workers, anyone you wanted to hire last summer, but now we want them, we can't get any of them. So the worker shortage, the supply shortage, the parts shortage, the unrelentingly huge demand, I mean, once in a lifetime demand firms are experiencing, and yet they can't make profit and hire people to accommodate it for one reason or another. So it's frustration and adaptation, I think, are the two things you hear about most.
And one of the things that you have done for quite a while is give people an opportunity to sort of get some perspective from you on a daily basis. How do folks sync into your daily email?
Well, thank you very much, Kyle. Yes, I put out every day 70 words on economics. No graphs, no ads, no charts, no links, no photos. The easiest way to get it is to sign up via text. It's an email, but via text. Open a new text. The phone number is 2-2-8-2-8-2-8, and all you text in the text box is the word bow tie. One word, no hyphen, no space. If you do it correctly, you'll be prompted for an email address. So the number is 2-2-8-2-8 to bow tie.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, a noted national economist, thanks for being on with us again this afternoon.
Absolutely my pleasure, Kyle. I look forward to next time already. Have a lovely weekend.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.